Hello, hello, hello. So I'm Rhonda Y. Williams, and I'm here with today's espresso shot, a little bit of inspiration before our main brew. So I have a really important question to ask you. What are you holding on to? You know, in both our personal and our professional lives, self-leadership is understanding the power of absolutely letting go. It's like a little bit of Kenny Rogers' wisdom, knowing when to hold them and knowing when to fold them. But here's the essential truth. Folding them is not a sign of weakness. It can be one of the most empowering things that you can do for yourself. So I encourage you to explore the thrill of releasing what no longer serves you, embracing change, and preparing to boldly and courageously go where you have not gone before. In this process, you'll discover the path of growth, resilience, and ultimately your greatest self. That's today's espresso shot. I'm super excited to get things started. So let's get ready to lead above the grind. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, everyone. Super excited to be here with all of you today. Really great to really think about where we are. So today we are at episode 110, and it is the season finale of the Coffee with Rhonda show. You're a cup full of inspiration, revelation, and wit for today's savvy leader. So before we introduce our co-host and our guest, just a few housekeeping items. If you have not done so in all of this time yet, I encourage you to go to coffeewithrhondashow.com, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and browse some of the amazing content that's there for you. Right now, whether you're listening live or later on replay or audio or podcast, take a moment to like and share the video, because sharing is caring after all. And there is someone who will find value in today's message. So with all of that being said, excuse me, my name is Rhonda Y. Williams, and I'm your host for this show. And my past experience includes being a chief nursing officer, a hospital CEO. So I've had my share of stress. Today, I call myself an ARSL, or a recovering stressed out leader, and I believe we really must modernize our approach to leadership to involve well-being for all. So if you want to learn more about the work that I do in the world, you can visit atgleadership.com. Now, there is a whole weird, crazy story behind it, but we'll save all that for another time. Just say for now, what I have in my cup is a cup of a coffee with pumpkin spice. And then I also have a little bit of white chocolate included as well. So that's me and what's in my cup. And let's introduce our co-host before we get to our amazing guest. And I see our other co-host coming in there as well. Hey, Marae, welcome back from Japan.
Yeah, I'm still, you know, jet lagged, but I'm happy to be back, especially for the season finale. You know me, I'm Marae, the greatness engineer. I'm tuning in from Perth, Australia, so it's nighttime here, and I'm all about greatness. I really, you know, love helping people to, you know, to step into their greatness, and I particularly focus on women in male-dominated environment to help them to step into their gift, to be more visible, and to really, you know, get their authority, you know, going. So today I'm drinking, you know, matcha coming from Japan. So just enjoying the matcha tea today.
All right, fantastic. And I see I'm going to bring in our other co-host here really quickly, Ms. Roz Jones. Let me get you on stage just in time for introductions. Hey, Ms. Roz Jones, good morning. Perfect timing and time for you to say good morning, introduce yourself, and tell us what you got in your cup.
Good morning. Look, I was trying because I what I did was look, I got on the shirt. I got the shirt on.
Lead above the grind shirt, lead above the grind cup. All good. Fantastic. Thank you, my dear.
Well, anyway, that's what I was trying to do before I got on, was trying to. But anyway, I'm Roz Jones, the CEO and owner of Jacksonville's Best Caregivers, where we help expand the life of your loved one. Why do I do it? I do it to help your caregiver to reduce that SOS on their journey, which is being stressed, overwhelmed like myself, and providing safety and security. When you can't do it all, you give Roz Jones a call. And in my cup, I have a big R for Roz, and I have in here ginger tea and honey. That's what I have.
Awesome. Fantastic, Roz. Wonderful, wonderful. So I'm going to introduce one of my new besties and a good friend. And I am going to just tell you all a little bit about Mayan Gordon. So after surviving a near-death experience when she was 19, Mayan went on to build a career centered around human connection, creating value and generosity. In the process, she successfully built companies, built an audience of 2.3 million followers on social media, and traveled the country in an RV. Today, she works as a consultant and an advisor. Mayan, welcome to the coffee table. I'm so happy to have you here.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be a part of a show that's so well produced, has so many great little sound bites, and covers topics that I think are really, really important.
That's awesome. Mayan, do you have a cup with you?
I do. It's not as fun as your guys's cup. Standard paper cup, and I've got some local. I didn't look long enough to see who the local roaster is that made this, but I'm here at a place called Innovation Depot in Birmingham, Alabama. It's a nonprofit tech incubator, kind of big building that gets all of the tech people in the city kind of collaborating and working together. And they have a pitch competition that I got pulled in to judge, be one of the judges for today. So it's
Nice.
wild where life takes us, isn't it?
It absolutely is. So thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to dive in here in just a second. Christopher says, epic show today. Thank you so much, Christopher. Ja is out there. Hey, everyone, congratulations on another great season. Excited for the next chapter and have my coffee ready to go. Regina's out there. Hey, says, good morning from San Antonio. And I have coffee in my cup. And Maria is out there as well. Hey, Maria, great to see you. And she says, hey, Rhonda, that's fantastic. Maria, do you have your cup? And if so, what's in that cup? If it's safe for you to tell us, sometimes you can't tell us, and that's okay. So we're gonna dive into our discussion today. And we're gonna begin with an opening quote. So I asked all of our guests to share an opening quote. And it's a beautiful way to start this segment around what that quote is and why it's important. So I'll put it up, I'll read it for those listening later on audio. And then Mayan, I'll ask you to talk about why this quote, and it'll get us launched in our conversation. So the quote says, challenging the meaning of life is the truest expression of the spirit being human. So I absolutely love that. And Mayan, talk to us a little bit about that. So why this quote? And let's use that as an opening segue into our discussion.
It's always hard when someone asks you like to pick one quote, right, out of the millions of amazing quotes that we've heard in our life. But I wanted to pick something from an author that I knew. So I've read Man's Search for Meaning, which is written by Dr. Frankl and is just a phenomenal, phenomenal book for anyone looking for a good read. I picked an author that I was familiar with and kind of knew their work and a bit of about their kind of background. And then just wanted something that got people to think a little bit more. I always really like quotes that not only make me feel some type of you know, passionate or like intense kind of way, but also really get me to ask questions in my own head that I might have not otherwise asked myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's definitely a really good one for that. So I found myself thinking about it as well, you know, sort of, it does get you to start asking some of those questions. And I think that's where I want to begin today, because our discussion today is around the human experience. And you and I had an amazing long conversation that really led us to this topic as I really began to understand more of who you are. Mayan, tell us a little bit about your journey and how you got to that point where reflection and awareness is such an important part of who you are.
Yeah, so I started off my life, I think this is probably a natural path for any human to follow, but as a child, we believe that our world is the whole world, right? And so I came from I would say, relatively sheltered family. We were, you know, vegetarian, no meat in the house, no milk in the house, because my dad was lactose intolerant, no Nerf guns or any like weapon related toys, no skateboards, like nothing too dangerous. Only, you know, healthy foods and like parent approved things. And, you know, I thought that the world was a very constricted place because of that. And then as I had more personal freedom, you know, as we get older and we can do more and more things on our own, I started discovering that the world was much bigger and very different in ways that my world was, you know, not performing that way. Or I saw big differences between other people's worlds or other you know, unlived experiences versus my lived experience. And then in 2011, after I had recently dropped out of college to pursue copywriting, which I didn't know was a career path until I accidentally discovered it on the internet, I was in this gas explosion, which is the near-death experience that you mentioned. And, you know, in what felt like eternity, but was probably a minute or less of time, I thought I might be dying. And while I was kind of in that process, it completely shifted my perspective and worldview to being something where I could really look at myself more objectively than I'd ever, I just didn't have that capacity to reflect before that experience. And after that, really just the ability to look back at myself and look back at my life in ways, in new ways, was something that I have never been able to stop doing since then. And I really fundamentally believe that that's kind of how awareness works. Once you turn on the light, you can't turn that light back off. You can try and shove it down into a deep, dark place so you don't pay attention to it very much. But I think once we're aware of something, we are impacted permanently forever through that awareness. And I think you can look at so many examples of our world trying to use awareness as a tool and as a vehicle to create positive change. I would say that's largely what a museum does, right? Museums are structured in a way that when we visit them, our awareness expands to new subject matter, to maybe new points of view, in a way that once we leave the museum, we kind of take it with us, or we take those new perspectives with us. You're muted.
Sorry. I was just getting all excited. I'm like, I had never really thought about museums in that way. So thank you for that, because I now have a new way that I'm thinking about. And you're right. It is about creating awareness. And in fact, now that you say that, Mayan, I think so much in our entire world is about creating awareness of one thing or another. Right?
Yeah.
Now I've got to
talk on that just a little bit. So as I begin, I think it's a virtuous cycle. It can be a vicious cycle as well. But in my experience, it was really this virtuous cycle of I became aware of something new, which then prompted me to take an action I wouldn't have even thought of taking before, or to go and take an action in a different direction than I'd previously thought about doing it. And when I take a new action or an action in a new direction, lo and behold, something else new comes into my awareness. And so my journey as a human has been completely nonlinear. It has been all over the place. And there's a lot of, I would say, you know, little memes or jokes about that being the life of an entrepreneur. I don't know if you guys have seen that one of the graph where it says, here's how people think entrepreneurship is. And it's like a line going straight up. And then they're like, here's how it really is. And it's like loops and back and forth and like crazy all over the place. I think that's just what it is to be human. I don't think that that applies explicitly and exclusively to entrepreneurship. I think that's our journey, because our direction is constantly being changed by what we're aware of or what we're not aware of.
So I want to ask Roz, I see that you, do you have a question?
No, I was, when she said I learned something new, it impacted me to go in a different direction. I had that experience this weekend. I learned something that I didn't know. And now it's the whole weekend took a whole shift for me. Yeah. And so when she said it, I'm like, oh my God, this is confirmation. That means I have to do what I learned. but I want to say this, just because it's impacted, it doesn't mean that this is the right time for us to move on it. Mm. It may be just research or a foundation that we need so that when this situation comes up again, we're ready for it. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I found myself. I found myself learning this. It wasn't something I'm going to need immediately, but when I come up on a situation again, now I know how to conduct myself. Mm-hmm. I don't have that fear anymore. And that was the big thing. I had a fear because I didn't know. Now that I do know, I can now be, I can help people to where before I was helpless and I felt useless because I didn't have the information. I've heard of it, but I didn't have the information to help people.
Really powerful, Roz. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. And I want to actually, the cycle that you mentioned, Mayan, it's really, I think, powerful. So, Murray, I want to come to you because when we're talking about the awareness to then take action, the first step, I think, and Mayan, you and I talked about this, is the reflection, right? Is the ability to reflect so that you can get to the awareness. But Murray, it feels like life is so busy. Do I have time to sit down and reflect? Somebody said in the post on social, when I posted this, they're like, yeah, as long as you're not just spending time navel gazing, then reflection can be a good thing.
And that's the problem. We become so busy. Sometimes we forget that we have to sit and reflect on everything that we've gone through and all the information that we've got. And really understand the environment where we are and where we should go next. Because otherwise, we're just continuing with the same mindset, the same attitude, the same everything. And we move, but without basically going anywhere. We're just going in cycle. So it's important that we sit, reflect, and really try to, just like a puzzle, really, you know, try to put things together, one piece, and then put another piece so that we can, you know, get to the big picture. And I think that's very important. And that's something we lose with social media, with everything. So we need to remind ourselves, we have to take that time. It's important for us.
So Mayan, Roz, were you gonna add something?
Yeah, I wanted to add something. I was listening to Mariah and she says, as we reflect, we also have to reset. It allows us to reset, you know, and not necessarily reset to start over, but just to reset where we are in the moment. So I wanted to bring it up because what Mariah was saying was like, I'm like, oh my God, that's a reset. That's a reset. You know, the reflection, you know, what have I done right? What I have done wrong? Okay, let's make the adjustment and move on. So. I'm done, Rhonda.
Yeah. No, that's good because it actually works perfectly with what I was going to ask Mayan to talk about with us. And that is, how important do you believe that it is for us to sort of empty our cup a bit and speaking to that mindset as we go into that reflective process? Because I have reflected on things with not a pretty mindset, and then the image of what is projected and what I see is also not pretty. So how important is that?
Yeah, and I think to your point, what was just said is how important it is super high. Two, I think that's how you do it, is before you start thinking about the context that you're reflecting on, you go, where am I right now? And not just physically, where am I, but like, where am I emotionally and psychologically? Am I leaning towards aggression, right? Am I leaning towards fear? Am I in a place mentally and emotionally that doesn't represent a good place to make judgment from? Because when we're reflecting, we're doing it, one, to, I think, identify things that we hadn't been aware of, but two, to make judgments, right? How should I think and feel about what just happened? How should I think and feel, what action should I take based off of the scenario I just experienced or just learned about? And being able to do that, I think, with a, we use terms like clear mind, right? Or level head, but a place of, I would say, balance. And I would say the place of balance is being in your seat of consciousness. So really being the observer, not the subject of, you know, getting entangled with the thing that you're reflecting on, which is something that just takes a lot of practice. It's not easy to just do the first time. Mm-hmm. And it took me years and years of being aware that I was getting caught up in my emotions, right? Is kind of the phrase we use. But to me, getting caught up in the emotions of an experience can also be kind of rephrased as I was focusing, I was applying my focus and awareness to the, let's call it the problem. And by doing that, I became the problem. My center of self started to fuse with where my awareness was being placed. And even though I knew that that was happening, it took me a lot of effort because I didn't have necessarily any mentorship or support, you know, human support or skills or techniques that I knew how to deploy. But it just took a lot of trial and effort before I figured out how to detach my emotions and somewhat my awareness to step back and say, okay, this happened, here are facts, here's the situation, how am I going to think logically and reasonably and in a positive manner about this to achieve some type of specific goal? And so that led me to then paying attention to, ooh, what goals am I trying to solve when I get in a reactive state? Right. And realizing that most of the time, those were not very intelligent goals to have, and that's what was causing all the problems, is I had the wrong goals that were making me react and behave in a way that led to a result I didn't want to have because I hadn't set a more intentional, specific goal. And I'll give a quick concrete example. Sure. So I'm married and have been for 10 years now. And I think this is a really classic partnership relationship scenario, right? Where, you know, me and my husband, we would get in a fight. And before the fight, I guess what caused the fight is I wanted to bring up something that I knew was emotional, and we were on very opposite ends, right? And so I bring it up, and before I do all this self-talk, Mayan, you're not going to get upset. You're going to be objective. You're going to, you know, listen to all of his points and not feel upset about it. And then the conversation starts and he's saying things that make me all upset, right? Sometimes that doesn't work. But what I realized why that wasn't working is because my automatic reactive goal, without having brought my awareness to the goal aspect first, was that I wanted to win the conversation, or I wanted to win the argument. I wanted him to see my point of view and that it was better and smarter and to agree with me, right? And so what made the world of difference, there was nothing I could do to change my reaction when that was my goal. Like, because my body, my mind was not going to behave differently when I was the one who set that goal, right? Or I allowed my mind to set that goal for me. And when I started thinking about, well, what's my real goal? Do I really just want to win this, you know, conversation or have him see my point of view? Or do I want us to come out stronger in our relationship out of this conversation and argument? And to me, it was so clear that that's what I really wanted. Mm-hmm. I didn't really care how the conversation went, which direction. I just wanted at the end of the conversation for both of us to feel better and more like a team. And so once I switched and could clearly identify that's my goal, I gained this like newfound ability to control my emotions in the conversation, because I could, as he was saying things, retell myself with the voice in my head and go, it's okay that he feels that way. And we don't need to change his point of view. We just need to figure out how to get on the same page with different points of view. I don't need to win this and to feel bad that he has an, you know, opposing opinion. Because the goal of this is no longer to convince him I'm right. The goal is for both of us to feel better and working together and on the same page after this conversation. So what can I say or do to achieve that?
Oh my gosh. So mic drop, everyone. That was amazing, Maya. So listen, let me tell you one of the things that I think is going to be a gem forever that comes out of this conversation is by focusing on the problem, you become the problem. Oh my goodness. Words of wisdom. So I'm going to come to Marae and Roz after I get say good morning to a couple of folks. So mom has joined. Hey mom, good morning. I'm here with large hot vanilla and green herbal tea enjoying the show. And welcome back, Marae. Mom always misses y'all when you're gone. So, and then we have Christopher who says, so true, staying present, staying aware requires a vigilant habit of course correcting in the moment. A heightened perspective, clarity is a lifelong process. Is a lifelong practice. Great guest, great conversation. Thank you so much, Christopher. And then, oh my gosh, Bola is joining. Hey, Bola, so great to see you. She says, interesting topic. Good to see you. Thanks so much for joining. So, Marae and Roz, I've got to get your reactions to what Maya just dropped because those were golden.
Yeah, it's, I mean, there's a lot into it, but I like the part where she was saying that, you know, when we go into an argument, we're thinking about winning the argument, which is not really, you know, the right approach to have. It's really to, and that's the problem. Sometimes when we communicate, we don't listen. We just want to, you know, to talk and then push our point and not really listening to, you know, to the person, whether it's our husband, partner, or children, it's even worse. So yeah. It's really difficult. So it's important that we understand that listening is actually one of the key, you know, skill when we communicate with people. And it will, you know, help us to have, you know, the context. Yeah. And really think about what are the right, you know, what is the right approach and what are the right words to use. And it's difficult. It's very difficult. And you know, not everyone can do it. And so it's important to look at coaching. It's important to really take time to learn, you know, to learn and go through it. Because otherwise, we're just going to focus on one thing and winning the argument. And by the time we realize it creates, you know, multiple problems and we're completely drawn into, you know, those problems and it's difficult to really get out of it. So
no, I agree. Really
good point here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well said. And Josh says, so many people say we need to talk, but truly mean I need to talk to you. Great self-awareness to realize that and adjust your mentality, Mayan. No, it's so true. So Roz, these reactive goals of wanting to win, right? Wanting to defend yourself and all of that can get us into this thing called the sticky wicket.
Yes, always wanting to win will get you in trouble. And I have been there on several occasions. Go figure.
And we're still getting in trouble anyway.
So that's true.
We're getting coaching today.
But you know, as I listen to you all talk, you know, I have grown, just like all of us, you know, have grown. And it used to be when I didn't get my way, I would get up and walk. Or mm-hmm. I'd give you my back. I mean physically, you know, my whole body language, everything would turn. And now when people talk and I don't agree, I just look. I just get a stout face. But then in the whole conversation, at the end of the day, are we getting to the same goals? So each one of us may have to make an adjustment to get there. And so that's what I've learned now. If the conversation is still stupid, I'm not going to participate. Trust me.
My goodness.
Which comes to the point where, you know, where do you stop, you know, and that's the thing, you know, we don't know.
Yeah, you know,
Roz, you and stupid conversations do not go together. So no. Hold on. Let me play this clip because this is one of my favorite that I have forever. You guys take a look at this.
I wasn't taught to identify what was going on. I wasn't. I was, you know, I didn't learn about self-awareness and some of these other things. Rhonda really, one thing I did learn, you know, even though about the emotional, you know, intelligence piece was until I met you and some of the things that we have done privately. So I wasn't even aware sometimes for decades or years that I could manage this. I didn't know. It was just get out here and put a can of whip ass on somebody. I'm just being honest.
That will forever be one of my favorite clips. But that's what happens, right? When we are in the reactive state. So Mayana, I think you summed that up beautifully. I think you summed that up beautifully. Raj, you didn't know that was coming, did you?
No.
Yeah.
I need to lose some weight because I was kind of skinny on that video.
So really important, though, I think for us to think about this in that way. One of the things I want to tie this conversation to is I've been talking about this special announcement coming up, and I want to talk about that and how we, so let's sort of just get that out there, right? The big thing that we've been talking about for a couple of weeks is coming. And that is, this will, if you're watching the show, you are participating in history, because this will be the final The Coffee with Rhonda show ever, because not just the season finale, but after 5.5 years, the three of us have been going strong and we have decided to elevate and change and evolve. And all of that, I feel like, has come through reflection and awareness. So I think it ties perfectly with what we're gonna do. So what are we evolving into? I'm gonna give you all just a sneak peek of where we are going. And so when we come back in March of 2024, it will no longer be the Coffee with Rhonda show. We will be new and evolved and different and improved. And here's a sneak peek of what we're going to be. Amazing, Roz. Are you speechless?
Seldom am I speechless.
It's amazing, isn't it?
That was amazing. Is that Chris?
You already know. You already know. But this is this evolution that you all have, this journey that you all have come on with me, and we have done this darn thing together for 5.5 years. And Mayan, I have been reflecting, and we have been reflecting on, who are we really? What are we doing here every week, right? This is a lot of energy and time. And so when I thought about you being a guest on the show, it really was an important part of this discussion, this announcement, because you, every time I talk to you, there's this enlightenment, this awareness that happens because you are that person. So Roz and Marae, stay tuned. Big, great things coming next year. All of our guests out there, I hope you enjoyed that. Give me your feedback. Do you like the name? The name of the show, by the way, if you didn't catch it, will be the Jitsu in the Rise in the Dojo, right? And the dojo is a sacred place of practice. It's where you hone your skills. It's where you get better. So Rise in the Dojo will be what we will be doing here every week starting in March. So thank you all for giving me a moment to express that and to do that and introduce it. And I really look
crying later.
I love it. I love it. I'm just,
yeah.
Chris has blown me away again. I'm just.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You like it? Mm-hmm. Good. I'm so glad.
I love it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So that's what's coming up for us. So Mayan, I want to come back and talk about this reflection and this awareness, because you said there's a process to it of really heightening your awareness and the things that you can do. So I would like to put that on the screen and have you talk us through your formula for becoming more aware and more enlightened.
Absolutely. Let me make sure my brightness is up so I can read what I wrote. So yeah, in this, you know, step number one, kind of, again, finding a quiet space with no distractions. That can be an external physical space, which I think is a great thing to have. Maybe it's by a tree outside your house. Maybe it's, a comfy chair inside your house. But that quiet space can also be the quiet space inside of you. And so sometimes we don't have the ability to just go somewhere, right? We're in the middle of our workday. We're in the middle of a conversation. So I think, centering yourself, what we were talking about, when you're in a conversation and you need to be doing real listening, not just thinking about what you're going to say next, the best place to go to start from is that quiet place inside of yourself. And I think using your external environment can, help you create that internal quiet space. One of the ways that I help to clear my cup or empty my cup, as also we were talking about, because I think that that's really important, is to kind of wash my brain through with some other substance. So because a lot of times, right, like our own thoughts can feel like they're overpowering to us, or like we don't have an ability or control to break the cycle or the rumination of our thought patterns. And so I like to read 15 minutes of books. Sometimes it's 5 minutes, sometimes it's half a page, and I can kind of feel my brain get cleared out. But I'll read what someone else wrote. I'll read, some thoughts by another author, usually not something on social media. I'll say as kind of a caveat, I don't think social media is a good place to kind of clear your mind. I think it can actually perpetuate a lot of the negative thoughts that we have that kind of go automatic. But books are really great. And just, again, the physical nature of putting your phone down, of not looking at a screen and engaging with words on a piece of paper, I think is phenomenal to change our kind of like mind state to get us ready for the activity of reflection. And then, you want to trigger some creativity or some, pattern processing in your brain. You don't want it totally empty. You want something kind of going in there. And so I think writing down and asking yourself questions is a really, really good way to start kind of those cogs and those wheels inside of your mind to start going and producing something that's creative, that's positive, that has value for you, or at least can be kind of like a ladder or stepping stone to get you to that mental place where you really want to be for reflecting. And then, write down or speak out loud to yourself, basically get the thoughts of what your brain is coming up with as the answer to those questions outside of your head. So again, whether that's some people, it's going to work better for them to look at the question and then like take voice notes, right? To put the little speech to text on their phone and be like, now that I'm thinking about it, and to just kind of let those thoughts freely go from immediate idea out of your mouth, right? Without taking the time to process the thoughts before externalizing them. And same thing with writing. So writing as the thoughts are happening, not thinking the thoughts, allowing some amount of time to process and then writing them, just like getting them out of your head and then objectively looking at or re-listening to what you spoke or rereading what you wrote, you'll see it from a totally different perspective. And I think by nature, that not only allows us to reflect in an effective manner, but it increases our awareness because we'll notice things about our own reflection process that we wouldn't have if we focused exclusively on just the reflecting. So if we look at the process and the work that we did kind of in these four steps, we gain a different level of perspective and awareness and ability to reflect than if we're just doing the reflection.
So good. Wow. Thank you. Really, really good, Mayan. And each of these steps, I think it has their own power. Right. Uh-huh. They're powerful in and of themselves, but then combined, it really can get you to the place. I wonder if it also helps you understand sort of if it will identify what your thinking habits and patterns are. Right. If you go through this process a bit, you begin to understand it's interesting that I always lean towards this, or I seem to come up with this, because once again, when that light is turned on, you can't turn it off. Right? You then become aware of those patterns. So thank you so much for sharing that. I'm going to read a couple of comments here, and then I'm going to get Roz and Marae to react to the formula. So Joe said, good morning. And she was back a little bit, but she said it sort of reminds her of the drama triangle, the perpetrator, victim, and rescuers. The goal is not to be on the triangle. The challenge for me is to not only set my boundaries, but to keep them without jumping into the triangle. Mm. So powerful. Again, that's awareness, Joe, right? So you are now aware that that is your challenge. And I always feel like when I am aware of something, I can begin to manage it. If I have no awareness that my behavior is X, Y, and Z, how can I possibly manage that? Right. So really important. So Joss said about the trailer coming for next year. Wow, it looks amazing. What a cool name, cool graphic. Looks really powerful. Yeah. Bola says, congratulations. I'm looking forward to it. I'm gonna hold y'all to it. I'm gonna need y'all to be there in March supporting our new journey and our evolved level mm-hmm. of thinking about leadership. Christopher is out there showing love, lots of love. I'm sure lots to you, Roz, mm-hmm. as well, and to yeah. all of us. He uh-huh. is the man behind our brand.
Yes.
I can't even say man. He is the yeah. master behind our brand. And uh-huh. he's absolutely incredible, not only as a professional, but as a human being and a person. So absolutely love that. And then Mom says, congratulations, Rhonda, Roz, Murray, for growth evolution to this new amazing version of your brand. How exciting. So impressed with Chris's creativity as always. All right. That's all so good. So good. So we've talked a lot about this, but I want to get Murray and Roz to react to Mayan's uh-huh. formula. So Roz, let's start with you first and your thoughts on the formula.
I love the formula. Not only does it bring awareness, but now there's accountability. Mm-hmm. You're mm-hmm. accountable for what you know now. You're not accountable for what you don't know. You're accountable for what you do know. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so just like I told you before, lack of knowledge, I wasn't responsible. Like I said, I felt useless. Once I get the knowledge, uh-huh. then I'm empowered. Mm-hmm. See, I have something tangible, you know, that okay, this behavior was not good, but now this new behavior is going to open up more opportunities.
Yeah.
And so when you're aware, there are more opportunities. Mm-hmm. So many more opportunities.
Yeah.
When you come into that knowledge, you walk different, you talk different, you hold your shoulders back, you hold your head. It changes everything about your body.
That's
everything.
True.
So yeah. I just wanted to put that out there. But yeah, awesome. I love all of that, you know, starting from the inside, because what's on the inside is going to come outside.
Awesome. Uh-huh. Perfect. Thank you so much, Murray.
Yeah, very powerful, very powerful. And I love it as well, because I've experienced it myself, you know, and I really want to focus on the writing, you know, whatever comes out of this process. Because that's the accountability, actually, that, you know, that you get, you know, from writing it down. And I still remember a lot of the things that are happening in my life right now. I wrote them down back in 2015 and didn't really realize, you know, just, you know, went with, you know, whatever schedule and anything. And then last year, I started to read through whatever I've come up with. And I just realized I was actually, you know, really doing all of those things without even knowing. It's just that the fact of writing it down, just, you know, put it in there and it becomes unconscious. And we really, you know, go as, you know, you just do it. And that's very important. So, yes, the reflection part is good, coming up with, you know, those ideas. But writing it down is really the part that will really manifest it. So
yeah, I love that. Thank you. We got some comments out there. Dr. Carlene said, yes, as you were speaking, Roz. And then Mom said, preach, Roz. And then Dr. Tabitha said, that's right, Roz Jones. So I do believe, you know, there is something to this. Mayan, what's in our way? What blocks this process?
Yeah, I think a lot of it's fear. I think fear is usually what's in the way of all things, if you kind of peel back the layers. And I love, I think, Roz, you brought this up, that it feels empowering mm-hmm. to, you know, face the things that are impacting us, even if those things are bad. And I think most people have this deeply embedded fear of looking inside themselves at what we externally are perceiving as a problem, because we're afraid of what we might find. We're afraid we're the problem, that it's us. We're afraid that we're going to look deeply or closely at who we are or at our insides and not like what we see and not be able to do anything about it. I think that's a really common fear. That certainly when I was growing up as a child, that was a fear that I had. I think it's a pretty common, you know, child fear of, is there something wrong with me? And I think that unless you deal with that question, you know, at some point in your life, it's something that sits in a layer of your consciousness kind of permanently, even if you're not totally aware of it all the time, where it keeps you. I think that's what keeps people from reflecting, is they have kind of this permanent layer that they haven't really gone, oh my God, yes, that's something inside of me that I have to figure out how I'm going to navigate past it, of what if there's something wrong with me that's permanent and that can't be fixed. And that is a terrifying thought to have, right? Like talking about meaning and what, you know, why are we here, right? Like, as you were saying about the show, like, why are you guys doing this for so long? What's it really all about? Like, what are you getting out of it? What are you giving from it? There's a fear that you're going to look deeply at that question, any question, and go, it was all for nothing. There is no meaning. And so I think that's one of the just fundamental, you know, fears that we have. And again, ties back to the quote that I chose. And I think part of why I love that quote is there's a power in looking into the dark and a knowing that there is something there. And I can't, you know, convince someone who isn't willing to look, but I can promise you that for myself and every single human I've ever talked to and ever met, there's something there beyond almost this world, right? There's something about being human that none of us can explain, but all of us experience. Mm. And that thing has value. It has permanent value, and you are not broken. There might be a lot of issues and challenges and things you want to work through, but you are not fundamentally broken. You're part of nature. You're part of this universe. And if you were broken, you wouldn't be able to exist, like, in any manner. You wouldn't be here in a way that's functional in any capacity. And so looking at any of the things you're doing in your life, getting out of bed, you know, getting your kids' lunches ready for school, any of the things you're accomplishing are huge indicators that there's something super valuable inside of you. And it might be buried kind of deep behind all these different fears and things that we're a little too afraid to look at. But the cool thing is, once you look at it and you have information about it, you become empowered. And there is no limit to our capacity to solve problems as human beings.
Roz.
I got to jump in.
Go for it.
Even though you're broken, you still have value, and you can still. I want people to understand this. This is so critical in this conversation. Even though you're broken, you still have value. You can be used. That brokenness can then help somebody else. That's, I hate to go biblical, but that's a testimony. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, everything we're talking about is in the number one bestseller. All kind of broken people were used in the Bible. I'm going to go there. Mm-hmm. And I know, and if anybody's offended, so what? Suck it up, buttercup. You'll be all right. But all I'm saying is that you still can be used. You know, I failed. Nobody can. That's a lie. That's a lie. You still have value. There's someone out there that needs to hear your story so that they don't go through that same thing. You don't know the toil for this oil, what I've done. Let me shut up, Rhonda. I'm sorry, because I'm going.
You on the roll. I'm with it. I'm all about it, because that's where this conversation took us, right?
Yeah.
And so I absolutely love all of that. So Mom said, Marae, I agree. I've practiced writing it down for years, and that has even produced books. Bola said, I love that statement. You are not that broken. You are part of nature, and there is something in the dark. Oh my goodness. Bola said, yes, Roz, even if you're broken, you can still be used. And then Dr. Carlene said, there is a lesson in every experience. And that is why we cannot move too quickly. So my son and I were talking about this earlier. sometimes we are moving so quickly, and that's another one that gets in our way, right? We are moving so quickly that we miss the lesson, and we miss the beauty. We miss the learning. We miss the entire experience and what it can offer and bring to our lives. So that's all really, really powerful. I think there is lots of quotes and beauty that's going to come out of this conversation. I'm looking forward to going back and listening to all of this. So I'm going to do something, switch it up really quickly. Yes, Ross.
I want to say one last thing. Mm-hmm. There's beauty in ashes, and I'm done.
Ugh. Beauty in ashes. Love it. She's on a roll, y'all. That is Ms. Roz Jones. So let's do something.
One more thing to that.
Yes, absolutely.
One of the favorite things that I've come across that I think is incredibly useful as a concept that anyone can.
Uh-oh.
Hopefully. Sorry, someone just tried to call me. So what I was saying is a concept that I came across is, you know, if you, and again, this all stems from asking really interesting questions. What is beauty, right? We can't point to something beautiful. If we took all the things that anyone considered beautiful, there would be no commonality of between those things, right? There'd be little different pieces of everything and everywhere. So I was talking with someone who's just a brilliant creator and creative person. And he explained that his viewpoint of beauty is that beauty is a magic spell that human beings cast on things that they wish to protect. So it beauty, seeing something, and that ties back to, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. We create the beauty. Beauty is meaning. Beauty and meaning are the same thing. And when we say something's beautiful, we've put a magic spell of protection and of meaning on that thing. And the cool thing is, because this is something we're not like physically doing, right? We're doing it with our soul, with our heart, with our mind. You can do it to anything. There are no constraints on what you decide to call beautiful. And this is something I've practiced in my own life through my reflection process, is I would stare and look at those things that I was afraid to look at. And I would at first see them as ugly or as bad. And then I decided that all of life was beautiful, and that everything, God, science, whatever you believe in, there's a clear design to the universe. That's what math is. That's what science is, right? That all of that was really beautiful. And if I was a part of something beautiful, then I must be beautiful too. And so I decided that I was, because I'm the one who holds the power to use my magic wand and go, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I also realized I already was labeling broken things, let's use that context, broken things as beautiful, right? I'd been to a museum and seen a sculpture that was literally a construction of something broken in pieces and gone, wow, that's beautiful. So why couldn't I do that to myself and to my past experiences? So I started going, you know, that was sad. And it was, I made mistakes. And I feel maybe right now in this moment, looking back at that past experience, maybe I feel shame or guilt, which I think are like the worst things anyone can ever experience. But even with all of that being true, this was still beautiful. This was a beautiful experience, because being alive and experiencing anything is beautiful. And doing that repeatedly changed my world, and my day-to-day experience is so much more joyful, because I now am in control of deciding what's beautiful, and it can be everything in my life.
Oh my gosh. I can't control. It's time for me to end the show. Marae?
No, I was saying we are in control, and we are afraid of this power that we have, and that's really the problem.
Oh my goodness. We have the power to choose beauty. It's a choice. And even if you're in financial difficulty, or your relationship isn't going well, or your business isn't going well, or whatever that is, there is a beauty in that, and you get to decide that. Right. Oh my gosh. I can't believe we've got to wrap up on time. My aunt has an appointment that's at the top of the hour. So we will make sure that we honor that. So a couple of things. Bola said, I love Mayan's worldview. Me too, right? That's why she's here. I spoke to her and I'm like, okay, you have got to come grace us with your knowledge and wisdom on the show. Mom says, Roz, I agree. Virtually everything on the show is encouragement, which can be found in biblical, even through scriptural references, not quoted. This applies to most of our guests also. Bola says her views are just relatable and the simple truth. And then we have Antonio. Hey, Antonio, great to see you. Absolutely agree. All right, we've got to wrap up. We've got to do our What's in Your Cup segment.
Oh, I bet there's too much in the cup. Yeah.
Smile.
My audio went out, so I can't hear you right now. I'm not quite sure.
Oh, no.
What happened on my side technically.
We can hear you. So let me just put something in our chat. Says
we made it through so much without any technical issues, and then right at the end,
so that she knows that we can
you can hear me. Yes. No, I can't hear you guys for some reason, even though I know you're not on mute, so it must be something with my phone. I could try leaving and coming back.
Okay,
real quick.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. All right, so while she does that, let's go and get ready to do the What's in Our Cup segment, because we really have to wrap up. I don't want to go, but it's time to end the show. Oh, look at that. That rhymed.
Powerful, isn't it? Powerful, powerful.
I want you to show the new show thing again. I want to show that again.
You want to see it again? All right, it's really, really short. Yeah. All right, let's show it again before we do our outro, and then we'll go to What's in Our Cup. We'll let Mayan start. Mayan, in case you need to drop off, that's totally cool. So let's show it again, and then we'll do what are we taking away from this conversation and what we hope people are taking away that we put in their cup today. So let's do the promo first. Yeah, so that's who we will be in March of 2024. No more Coffee with Rhonda. We are evolving to our next level. So really excited. I hope you all join us for Leadjitsu Rise in the Dojo. There's also a book coming on it and workshops and just so much about really the vision, right? The artistry and the discipline of superb leadership. That's what we'll be focused on. So let's do a quick What's in Your Cup segment, and Mayan will have you go first right after this. All right, Mayan, what do you hope people walk away from this conversation with?
Yeah, it's hard to pick. There were so many good nuggets. So I'm gonna sneak in two things into my cup. One is just writing things down. I think that was such a great point that there's really nothing that even comes close, in my opinion, to the proven success that writing things down and reflecting through writing has for human beings. We've been doing it for thousands of years. There's, hundreds of millions of people who will, vouch for the power of, writing reflectively. So that's number one. I think that not only is it helpful, but as you pointed out, being able to go back and read yourself's previous version of yourself's thoughts and experience is like wild, and everyone should get to experience that at least, once in their lifetime of being years ahead in the future and going back and reading who you were in a previous moment in time. And then the second one I'll sneak in was also a great point that was shared around listening and how really creating a space of listening and practicing that regularly, I think, is so crucial to our own internal reflection. Because if we're only seeing the world through our point of view, it's going to be really challenging, in my opinion, to reflect. We need those infusions of external perspective. And we all have opportunity every single day without taking any extra time to gain that perspective. just through listening differently and listening more intently and more powerfully in the conversations that we're already having.
Yeah, absolutely love that. Mayan, I think you rocked our audience today. Everyone loved what you had to contribute. How can people connect with you and learn more about the work that you're doing in the world?
Yeah, I would say the best place is probably to connect with me on LinkedIn. It's kind of the platform I'm the most active on. So if you just search, you know, my first name, last name, it's unique enough. I should be the one that pops up for that. And, you know, please send, if you're sending a connection request, please send a note so I know that you know, saw me on the Coffee with Rhonda show, soon to be Lejitsu. another place you can check me out is my website, mayangordonmedia.com. I have a little bit of like my story up on my about page and just a little bit more information. But really, I want to connect with people. Like, I really appreciate attention and, you know, people reading about me, but I'd much rather have a conversation with you. So if you're watching this right now, please, you know, don't be a stranger. I promise I don't bite. And I would love to, you know, talk to you and get to know who you are.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Mayan, for joining us. Absolutely love that. Rhonda's Jones, what did we put in your cup today?
That, you know, even though we're broken, we still can be used and we have value. Mm-hmm. And writing down, I thought about that, you know, a long time ago, we used to write lines, you know, I will not talk, you know, I won't throw paper, I won't chew gum. But after we wrote 100 lines, we didn't do it anymore, right? It manifested.
Right.
The same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Both of my two.
Thank you. Marae?
Yeah, for me, it's really the, you know, the empowerment that the message of, you know, Maya, you know, brought. Really, you know, reassuring us that we can empower ourselves, you know, whatever the situation, wherever we are. We just need to, you know, to go through this process and believe that, you know, we will, you know, come out with the beauty that we want, you know, in the world or for us. So I think that's really the big, you know, the big highlight for me.
Thank you. Well, for me, I'm going to wrap us up quickly with my last drop. The Coffee with Rhonda show has been an incredible journey for the last 5.5 years. And we thank all of you that have tuned in at one time or another, listened. And we now invite you to join us in March of 2024 as we boldly pursue the next chapter in our mission to advance leadership mastery globally. That is who we are. That is what we do. That is why we exist. And that is why we come to you each week. So with that, I'm going to take us out. Thank you all so much for tuning in. It's been an incredible conversation today that I will need to go back and listen. Don't forget, if you have not liked and shared the video, please do that. There is someone that is going to get something out of this conversation. And then we will see you back here next year in March of 2024. For our new show, Lejitsu. Until then, take good care, everybody. And you know how at the movies, there are those end credits? Are y'all gonna wait to the end scene?